we are in the hold of a ship belonging to the Blood Drunks. We are going to undergo quite a rigorous ordeal. We may be forced into a life outside the law, which I am not comfortable with.
Yeah, that was obvious.
Been looking for some people to get along with and find myself a new place.
We actually are all captives, aren't we? Captives of our own demise. As for me, I've been a captive for a long time.
Well, you should know that you're interrupting me during my lunchtime. I was very honest about what I was selling, and it is on you to ask the questions that you want answers to.
So you're telling me that shiny baby and that big nerd have been taken by pirates? Draw me a map, Mama.
The captain said that I'd like you to join him for dinner.
Well, we wouldn't want to be rude.
Are you sure we want to do this?
I am not.
New episodes of Imagine Dungeons, an actual play D&D podcast, every Wednesday.
Previously on Worlds Away.
In an additional part of the slate, you find a series of messages in a separate folder, all of which are labeled Research Branch. And at the bottom of the message, you see an image, and that image shows what we've called the ghost ship as it's just starting to disappear.
This slate belongs to Emma Gomez, and it's currently logged into the account that was used to coordinate with Elliot Hall.
How many new settlements has humanity made since the armistice? And that's also Mo asking John that question.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I think, and this is John speaking. I know what I think the answer is, but Mo, what do you think the answer is?
I think it's none.
Yeah, I think it's none too.
I do not believe that the greatest pioneers of our species, who threw themselves across the stars on nothing more than a dream, chose to stop dreaming. I believe that choice was taken from them. At the end of your speech, assuming we've done our jobs and you're still alive, invite me up.
So Azhar kind of reaches the podium. Where do we see Nasir and Arno?
I am close enough to react, I guess, is sort of the thing. I wouldn't say that I'm like right on her, but I might be like a couple of yards away, either to like intercept someone that's coming out of the way or like to react to something. Close enough to react if I need to get close to her, close far enough away that I can like jump somewhere else if needed, I guess is sort
of. I see. So are you like standing on the stage or are you off the stage? Like in the wings, I mean.
I'm definitely on the stage.
I think you see that kind of dangling on one of the wires that's connected to the speaker is the earpiece that would have matched what Emma Gomez was using.
It's the hotel. She's in the hotel. She's going to take a shot.
What I want to do is utilize the light system, and I want to essentially drown out any line of sight that this person has.
So as she like pulls the door open, I think she has a millisecond of surprise at, oh, I did the thing. What do I do now? And then she reaches and grabs her pistol and is going to point it at Emma Gomez and say, it's over.
She looks back at you and then looks back down the sight and pulls the trigger. She looks back at you and then looks back down the sight and pulls the trigger.
Well, damn.
Arno. I think it's time for you to roll.
Just once, I would have loved a warhorse move that used volatile, but alas, stalwart it is.
This feels stalwart as fuck, though, dude.
I know. But the other ones felt volatile, so I figured, you know, maybe they'd just, like, switch around a little bit. All right, hold on one second. Okay.
All right.
We'll take a,
yes!
We take a 10.
10!
Okay. I mean, I just want to say, this is, I mean, I know we're excited. Discharge the move, Mike.
Yep.
There is going to be a consequence, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, stoic wall, when you stand defiant and defend another from violence or harm, you get to hold 3. And then you can spend hold 1 for 1 on the following. You can redirect an attack from that which you defend to yourself. You can reduce the attacker's attack by 1 harm. Or you can open the attacker up to an ally, giving the ally advantage going forward against the attacker.
I just want to make sure here. I can hold up to 3. I don't have to use all 3.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know that. I don't know why. I don't know what I want to open up the attacker to an ally for, I guess is what. Or I guess. So, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm right there.
I mean, Leela's in the hotel room, and I can think of a way that I would narrate that.
I'm sorry, I misread that as, like, I would be opening up Nasir, who's also on the stage, to the attack. And
no, shoot him!
I mean, you could hold, for what's worth, you asked, like, do you have to use them all? You could hold it and use it later, but also you could use them all now. I'll also say, if you wanted to pick the reduce the harm more than once, I would allow that, or you could, like, pick all 3 of them. So it's up to you.
I'm gonna take all 3.
All 3 separately. Okay.
I'm going to take all 3 separately.
Okay. The rifle that was shot, which was discharged when it was fired, using like the discharge as far as impulse drive is concerned, was going to do 6 harm. You've reduced it by 1.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, no matter what you do in terms of the stress harm ratio, you're going to be fucked up. I'm not saying that you're going to be dead, but you're going to be fucked up. You also may have some other stuff to help you. I don't know what kind of gear you have, but like that is the situation.
I do. Give me a second. Let me just, it's not going to help too much, but hold on.
Does anyone have a tactical pack?
I do, but I'm not there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to discharge.
I think you have a tactical pack too, Lauren, by the way. Using it only used 1 use of it. I think you have 3
okay.
Uses.
Thank God. Okay.
I'm going to discharge the shield to absorb 1 damage.
Okay.
Blessed.
And I'm just going to say the sniper rifle that is being used also has the armor piercing capability. So the shield will work, but if you have body armor, that's not going to help you.
Gotcha. I thought, well, the body armor is conspicuous and I didn't say I was wearing it before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just didn't think that was fair.
That's fair.
Okay. And then I'm going to take 3 harm and 1 stress. So I'm going to go to I'm hurt bad and take 1 stress.
Okay. What does that look like? What does it look like as you jump in front of this bullet?
Oh, I see. Oh, it is a dramatic Superman jump type situation. Like I got across the stage and at the last minute, I ran across the stage about 1.5 yards away from her. I jump, arms outstretched to wrap around her. And as I'm falling, turn towards the audience or towards where I think the shot might come from to shield her as we're falling down.
When I hear the shot, I was already like walking up from down in the basement. I dead sprint.
Okay.
And so I don't know, the scene's going to go on, right? But I...
Yeah, no, I get it what you're doing. You want to get to Arno.
Yeah.
So, and then Nasir, what do you do? I think you were right next to this when this was happening. Do you also kind of cover Sarek, or what are you doing?
I will immediately go down and cover Sarek, and also check on Arno.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's bleeding, like, profusely. He's hurt bad. and I think, like, he's literally and mechanically. Okay, well, we'll get to kind of the narrative consequence of this. I think 2 things additionally happen. One is... the crowd is like, obviously you're hearing screams from the crowd. The lights like came on, blinded them. And then there was a gunshot. And some of them, if they were close enough to the stage to not be completely blinded themselves, saw Arno take this bullet. And I think that there's the starts of what could be a stampede.
I'm going to stand but, up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that. let's get to you. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. I think I get where you're going, but we'll get to that. Back in the hotel room, I think we see an almost like incredulous look on Emma Gomez's face as she realizes that like Arno took the bullet. And we see her racking the bullet back to chamber another round into the rifle. Leela, what do you do? And you have advantage going forward.
So I have no idea what happened. All I know is that she took a shot. So correct. I think a scream escapes from Leela's lips, just kind of like, ah. And I think in that moment, before her attempt at intimidation was, you know, scattered and like half-assed. And I think in this moment, Leela is just, she's upset at failing and she wants to try to shoot Emma Gomez.
Okay. I think go ahead and roll firefight then. And just to be clear about the distances, I mean, you're like 10 feet from her right at this point, maybe 15 feet. You could definitely try to tackle her too, but if you want to shoot her, I think that that is going to be more effective at stopping her.
Yeah, I think Leela's normal approach would be to do something more hands-on, since that's what she's mm-hmm. more comfortable with. But I think in this moment, she has a gun in her hand, and she doesn't know what just happened, and she's going to use the gun.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to think. Hold on. Okay. No, I think it is still, I think it's firefight. I was trying to debate whether it was Alpha Strike, actually.
I was considering that, but I have a negative one to calculating and a plus two to vault. So.
All right. Let's do firefight then.
That's devastating. You had advantage.
Yeah, you have advantage. Yeah, you know, another die.
I advantage granted by what?
Me.
By Mike's move.
Okay, okay.
Because like, she's like cocking the gun now and is like distracted by the fact that Mike took the bullet. So
it literally has to be a two or higher. It's a two. All right, that's a total of seven, folks.
So that will be a three plus two plus my two modifier for a mixed success at a seven.
Unbelievable. Okay. Wild. Okay.
Okay, so when we complained about the roll algorithm, like giving Haley all the fun rolls over here, we didn't mean to like make her roll like us. We wanted to roll like her.
Yeah.
That's true. We should have been more specific.
Monkey's paw situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
A single finger curl on the monkey's paw.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead and on your gear, make sure you've marked the gear slot and then you have the pistol.
Yep.
And so I think you've used two of your gear slots.
Yes.
So, okay. So for firefight, when you open yourself up to danger and exchange violence with an enemy, you roll volatile. On a 10 plus, you exchange harm and choose three, but on a 7 to 9, you can only choose one. And you got a 7, if I did that math correctly.
And I really hope so.
You can pick one from the list. You can discharge your weapon with a discharge tag and deal double its harm, which the pistol does have.
Yeah.
You can take evasive action and suffer one less harm yourself. You can hold a position or halt in advance. You can make an advance and force your enemy out of cover. You can impress, dismay, or frighten your enemy. Or you can disengage and take a moment to recover.
So I let me say what I would want.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can figure out which option makes sense. So I think Leela is going to pull the trigger and without stopping to see what the effect is, kind of push forward and try to like either push Emma Gomez out of the way or grab her rifle or just do something to try to disable her.
Okay. So you're not discharging, just to be clear, you're just shooting once and then kind of running up toward her.
Yeah.
I think that like you making an advance or force your enemy out of cover works. And I think the way I'll think about that, right, is really that maybe you've unfortunately shifted her attention as you advance toward her away from the hole in the glass toward yourself, just from having shot her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've shot her in the side. And I think she grunts and then kind of spins back, and I think it's very awkward because of the short distance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she pulls the trigger on the rifle toward you.
Fun.
Because the distance is awkward, I think that this like grazes your side and it's only going to do two harm to you.
Okay.
But then you reach her and are sort of at point blank. But at this point, I want to cut back to the stage. And Mara, I know that you were sort of running up to the stage.
Yeah. So for one of my advances, I took Field Surgeon. So when you use a tactical pack to heal harm, you may also spend a use of your tactical pack to treat I'm hurt bad. And I'm pretty sure that's where Arno is right now, unless I misinterpreted.
Oh, yeah, that is where he is.
Yeah. So I think that in the midst of all of this chaos, Mara runs out there and kind of pulls Arno and lays him on. He got shot in the back.
I think he got shot in the right. You took the superhero dive, so you got shot in the front, right, Arno? Or where did you get shot?
No. I turned. So you got shot in the back.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So because the way that I did the jump was to like go arms outstretched to like kind of hug her and then turn type situation.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So I think that Mara turns to Nasir. Actually, first, I think Mara turns to Rivka and she looks her dead in the eyes and says, "Get off the stage immediately." And she's going to wait like half a second for Rivka to move.
Okay.
And if she doesn't, it's about to get violent.
No, I think at this point she does move. Yeah. I think she kind of moves toward the wings.
Yeah. And then Mara turns to Nasir or yells at Nasir wherever he's at. If Nasir is like trying to stop the bleeding or looking for the wound, I think Mara like helps him get like Nasir's uniform off and locates like the injury.
Arno's uniform.
Arno's uniform.
Exactly. And I think she'll say, "This is going to hurt." And she'll pull out the tactical pack. And so what I imagined is it's like the wound is so deep, right? And there's like, I imagine the bullet went through him almost completely.
Mm.
But I'm imagining it's so deep that whatever application of medicine or nanobots or whatever needs to be like injected into around the area around the wound.
Yeah.
So Mara's like literally applying like needles into the area around his like gunshot wound.
Oof.
This is an I'm hurt bad tactical fix. So
I don't want to say Arno whimpers in pain, but there's a groan.
Yeah. Okay.
A groan feels so appropriate.
I think that Mara like pulls out just like a t-shirt and she's like, "Bite down on this."
Okay.
Getting a little spicy on the stage over here.
So I don't think that this, and I just want to say, no, I don't want to limit the chances that you have to deal with this. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out what Nasir is doing. Are you sticking with Arno right now? Or are you trying to deal with the crowd?
The thing is my question is like my priority would be Arno if I think that I am necessary for Arno to live. And my priority would be the crowd if I think that there is a chance that others could die, like get hurt in the crowd. Right. I am of the opinion that I can't help. And like, I would love to get like Mara's opinion on this, that I'm not super useful to Mara and that a stampeding crowd, other people could get hurt.
Yeah, I
concur.
No, that makes total sense. Deal with a crowd. I don't think there's like the tactical pack is working. I think Mara's doing the monitoring the vitals and anything. So I think that and Rivka's off the stage or out of the line of sight. So that makes the most sense for you to try to keep people from getting hurt.
Okay. And let me just ask this, brackets maybe off mic. But Nasir, are you, in terms of you addressing the crowd, are you just trying to like calm them or sort of stop them from stampeding? Or are you trying to get them to do anything else in addition to that at this point?
I'm actually trying to get them to stay right where they are.
Okay.
Like, so I think I'm trying to make Nasir talk. I want the speech to continue once the situation is contained. Because I think I know what Reef Kasarik was just about to say. And that is probably like the greatest move towards peace that the Verge has ever seen. Like this is like, it is like Arno lives, no one else dies, Rivka gives her speech in that order of priority.
Okay.
For me.
So I think you maybe go to the mic to do that, and I'm going to come back to you. But I want to go back to Leela right now. You're on Emma Gomez, and like, what are you doing now that you're at point blank range with her?
Beat the shit out of her, Leela.
Pistol whip her. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Our niece.
Yeah, I mean, I could either try to intimidate her, but I just don't feel like that's going to work. So I think I need to continue with a physical altercation.
Night.
I'm just sure I don't know if it makes sense for me to like then also now pull out my Arnis Bastins and then try to like martial arts her right now. Like, I just don't feel like that's, I don't know.
I mean, I'll say this. I think if you had the pistol in your hand and you like pulled out one of the bastons. Like bastons and you wanted to dual wield that, I would let you roll as if you were using them. I think like narratively speaking, it's up to you. I mean, you have them on you because you always do. So that's kind of part of the power of the.
Yeah. And they deal the 3 harm. So I really like the sound of that.
Okay.
So yeah, then I would like to maybe with my other hand, like try to keep the pistol in one hand and then pull out an Arnis Bastin with the other hand and just start trying to deflect her if she's trying to move.
Okay. So go ahead and roll plus volatile then.
Okay.
8.
8.
All right.
So again, on Firefight, on 7-9, you can pick one from the list in addition to exchanging your arm.
Okay. I'm debating if I discharge, that would be 6 harm.
Yeah.
Which I feel like would end the fight.
Hmm.
I suspect.
So I guess I'll do that.
Okay.
I love how like hesitant Haley Daria is to do the violence. How like much this moment is like Leela as an action hero beating the shit out of somebody with a stick and a pistol.
And I'm like, I don't know.
And what does that look like, I guess? Like the last time we said you discharged, it was like you breaking the stick, but I don't know if that's, you know, we can't reuse that bit every time, but just what is this? Like, how do you finish the fight with the baston?
Do we know where I shot her?
I think in her back right side.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now she's kind of turned around and is facing you. She was like lying down on the desk to aim out the window when you shot her.
Hmm. How do we discharge the baston?
I wouldn't overthink this too much. I just want to kind of know what's like Leela's, you know, if this were the fighting game version of this, what's Leela's finishing move here?
I think.
Which I assume you're not trying to like kill her. I assume you're trying to like knock her out.
I'm not.
But that's, I just want to know like what this attack looks like here.
Yeah. So I think Leela's going to kind of rush over and get on top of her and keep the pistol pointed at her. And then with the baston start like whacking at her arms and then kind of finish with the baston like at her throat and then the pistol pointed at her head.
I think you do that. And I think right at that moment, we see Jocelyn Fisk and 3 other members of the EOS Security Service kind of going in through the door behind you. Back on the stage, Nasir, what do you say to the crowd to sort of calm them down?
Well, I mean, my first question is, like, as I'm standing up, I just want to, like, send out a signal, like, just a beep on the earpiece. Like, I want to know what's going on with Leela. Like, has Leela communicated that she's neutralized the target?
So, I think once there's other people in the room and I can get out of this hold, or at least if I can relax slightly because there's other guns being pointed at this person, then I'll say.
And I will also just remind you that you were shot slightly. Yeah. You know, you got grazed.
I am. What's the second one? I'm rattled.
Yeah.
I think Leela is like breathing heavily and I think she's just going to ask the room and maybe her earpiece as well. Is she okay? Did Sark get shot?
She's alive. Do you have Gomez?
Yes. And then I think that's the last thing Leela says.
As soon as she says yes, I will turn and face the stage and my game face is on.
No concern for Arno.
Yeah, none whatsoever. Oh yeah, no, Sark's fine.
First and foremost, I was holding your fucking wound closed until Mara showed up to do the field medicine. So let's not say I had no... I abandoned what I was going to do to save you.
You didn't tell the closest thing to my bestie on this mission. Actually, this is my mission bestie. Oh, hey, by the way, he got shot.
To be fair, that's not what I asked.
Also, she doesn't need to be distracted. She's busy neutralizing the target.
Never mind. Neither of you care. I see.
So I will face the stage game face on.
Yeah. And I think the scene, just to be clear, is I think that Sarek is in the wings looking on to this. And I mean, I know that obviously you can use the tactical pack to heal I'm Hurt Bad, but I just want to, like, narratively speaking, I think this is a serious injury. And I think this is going to take some working. And so I think that, you know, he's on the stage and you're still kind of leaning over him, trying to make sure that the nanobots are doing their thing or whatever.
Yeah. Nano style. I think Mara hears what's going on in the earpiece and she looks at Rivka and then looks at Nasir, like, expectantly.
Yeah. All right. What do you say to the crowd, Nasir?
People of the Verge, we apologize profusely both for our technical difficulties, gesturing generally to the lights, and the interruption by those who would plunge the Verge back into war. We are currently taking care of Lieutenant Arno Hines, who bravely put himself in harm's way to ensure that Seeker Reeve Kasarik, and I will gesture to Reeve Kasarik, was able to finish her address to you this evening. The situation has been contained. We are ensuring medical attention for Lieutenant Hines immediately. And I hope that's true. I ask that everyone please remain calm. This is a moment unlike any in humanity's history. And one day you will be proud to say you witnessed it. And I will actually gesture with that for Reeve Kasarik to retake the stage.
I think she takes a cautious step out and then walks into the middle of the stage and then crouches down by Arno. I think she just kind of, like, maybe puts her hand on his forehead and then she looks at you, Mara, kind of just looking to see that he's going to be okay.
I think Mara's, like, hands are covered in his blood.
Yeah.
Which is the dyed hand?
The left hand.
I think Mara grabs her left hand and says, go.
I think she, like, stands up and then looks down and sees that, you know, there's the stain on the fingers.
Yeah.
Where they weren't marked before. I think she walks to the podium and kind of exhales again. And I think she looks up. And I think at this point, it is, like, moments away from the eclipse. And because of that, I think that you can see the stars in the sky as maybe the lights that you kind of activated, Mara, start to dim again. And she kind of says, looking up and almost, like, absentmindedly to herself, but I think the microphone picks this up, they're not always so different. And then I think she kind of looks down and regains her composure. And she says, a truly independent Verge means one where the people of each world have the right to decide for themselves, to decide without interference, and to decide without threat. And she kind of looks back at Arno when she says that. And while I hope they don't choose this, if a world decides to join with the Republic, that choice must be respected. I think when she says that, though, a bit of a murmur comes over the crowd. Some gasps. And I think the crowd is kind of spread out a bit, though, because of the initial stampede. But I think people are beginning to like trickle back in, realizing this is that something significant's happening. But then she continues and says, "The same is true if they decide to align with Aventine. But perhaps most importantly, it's true if they decide not to align at all. I now want to introduce someone that I'm sure many of you know. Someone I've never agreed with, other than perhaps that this choice should belong to you." And Reef Kasark steps away from the podium.
I'll step up. Hello, everyone. My name is Nasir Baydok. You all know that at my core, I believe in a unified humanity. I believe in the dream of a humanity in search of something greater. What you do not know is that I have been a fan of the writings of Reeve Kasarik for many years, and I hardly agree with a word of them.
She smiles, I think, from the side of the stage at you.
I am here not as a citizen of the Verge or of Earth, but as a representative of the Minerva Project, of the Evelyn Lee administration, and of all the people of Earth. To say that years ago we made a promise that we would honor the choices made by our siblings amongst the stars on whether they would remain a part of a unified humanity, and I certainly hope you do, or whether they would strike out on their own. I am here today with my friend, Seeker Reef Kasarik, to reaffirm that promise on behalf of the Terran government and the Republic, to say that no matter the outcome of that vote, we will respect it. And that regardless of what happens, humanity is better when we are not fighting. Though I do hope to debate with you, Rivka, for many light years to come. Oof. And I will hold out my hand with my dyed fingers facing out into the crowd for a handshake.
What I want you to do then, this is kind of untraditional use of this. I want you to roll your signature move and roll crowd pleaser.
I don't like these dice. It's gonna be okay.
You got this. Woo!
Oh, nice.
Oh, you got
this. 11 plus 2, that is a 13.
Wow. Okay.
Arno did die for this, so.
Can I describe something, or do you have something in mind?
No. I mean, I had something, but I think I want to hear what you have. So go ahead.
So I think Rivka reaches out to shake my hand. And I think the moment we shake hands... I do not psych Rivka Sarek.
I'm so sorry. The intrusive thoughts won on that one. I'm so sorry. I'm fighting demons over here. I'm so sorry.
I think I reach out to shake Sarek's hand, Rivka's hand. And I think the moment, like, we shake, our hands shake, actually all you can hear is the shutter of cameras.
Mm.
And I think the shot is Nasir Baydok and Reef Kasarik, political icons, like Aventine-dyed fingers facing out, shaking hands. Officer of the fleet bleeding on the stage, Mara Belova, savior of humanity, like, healing okay. his wounds. Like, I think it's, like, that epic, right?
Leela off camera also, knows all of them.
Leela, not there. Secret savior. But I also think that, like, it isn't lost on anyone in the crowd that they have never seen anything like this before. That there has actually never been a moment where there has been a representative of the Republic and a representative of Aventine at any level standing and addressing a crowd together.
Yeah.
And I think like that's the shot, right? It's like the camera flashes, and I think it's like thunderous applause.
Okay.
But that's, I think it's thunderous applause, not from Earth individuals who might be here or Aventine individuals who might be here, but I think that anyone who is of the Verge, the rest of the Verge, is roaring with applause.
Yeah.
And if your thing is cooler, feel free to describe it.
No, it wasn't.
Hey everyone, it's Mo. Thank you so much for listening to Worlds Away. This game has been a blast to play, and it has been wonderful to get to share the story with you. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends and family. And if they are starting to get annoyed with the fact that you keep talking about us, that's okay. That means you're doing it right. You can also support us by giving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you listen to podcasts. And if you want to give us a shout out on social media, you can find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod. We're online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
So the way I see it, I think there's two obvious things that you could do here. One is meeting with Reeve Kasarek, who I think wants to speak with you before you leave. And the other is questioning Emma Gomez. So I don't think this has to be an even split or anything, but I want to know who's doing what in the sort of final scenes on Eos.
I really want to question Emma Gomez.
Yes.
Okay.
I really want to watch you question Emma Gomez.
Is that you, Lauren, or is that you, Mara?
Both.
Okay. So maybe what makes sense then actually is, Mara, maybe you'd gone to the hospital with Arno to sort of get him, you know, more of the way there, that from what your on stage nanobot started.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's where they took Emma Gomez as well after her encounter with Leela in the hotel room. Okay. And so Leela and Nasir, does that mean that you two want to be the ones who speak to Reeve Kasarek?
Yes. I want to note that I was shot, but I think I'm fine. So
yeah.
I don't think I need to go to the hospital.
I think you just got grazed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you probably needed to get like, you know, some future paste on that or something like that. But otherwise you were pretty good. So.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would love to check in on the woman whose life I saved. Ish.
So I think maybe we see the elevator doors open and maybe Mara, you kind of are wheeling Arno down the hallway, and you see a room where there's two sort of uniformed members of the EOS security service outside. And I think this is kind of like an antechamber outside this secure room where Emma Gomez is being treated and also being detained at this point. And I think you go into the door, and already standing there kind of pacing around is Jocelyn Fisk, the chief inspector who you met when you first arrived. And she kind of looks at you and sighs. And she says, "I just got off with the Foreign Affairs Office. According to them, because the victim and the accused are both from Aventine, we're required under the armistice to extradite her. For her part, Gomez has requested diplomatic assistance, and so we're not even supposed to talk to her until they show up, at which point I guess she'd be leaving Eos."
I don't suppose you could let me have a minute of extra diplomatic communication. And I'll offer a pathetic cough because I've just been shot and like gesturing at where the bullet wound was.
Okay. I think she says, "Lieutenant Hines, under no circumstances are you to speak with Ms. Gomez. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee. Do you want anything?"
Just hot water, please.
I think like Marv will look down and she'll be like, I would love one of those sandwiches from the bakery we saw a few blocks away. That would be lovely.
That might take me a few minutes, but I'll be back once I have that and your hot water. And then she walks out of the room.
Dr. Bolova.
Lieutenant Hines.
I don't suppose the cameras are going to be a problem, right?
Those pieces of shit. I mean, no, that's it. So I think she'll like hand Arno like a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In my image, or in my head, you walk in there.
Yeah, I also had the image of the Doctor House like limp.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
That is
yeah.
literally what I had in my head, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does it look like? I guess, I mean, I know we kind of have the idea, but what does it look like? You know, I'm going to let you describe what it looks like when you walk into the room. And I think we definitely have like the like sounds of the heart rate monitors, like the beeps and stuff in the background.
Yeah, I think Emma Gomez is in a hospital gown. She is handcuffed to the bed, both sides. Enough so that she can like reach in front of her, but not enough that she could get up and walk away type situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's probably under the covers, and I think she's looking haggard and bored.
Okay. So I think when you walk in, and again, you're kind of like walking in with a cane, and maybe you shut the door behind you, and I think her eyes kind of narrow, but I don't think she says anything at first.
No, don't get up. I'll come to you.
I think she says, just in a super monotone voice, pursuant to Article 36 of the Armistice, I request a representative of the Aventine government.
And I'm just going to walk on over and I'm going to sit down. How many of you shot like me?
Pursuant to Article 36 of the Armistice, I'm requesting a representative of the Aventine government.
Because I got to tell you, the last time I got shot, well, let's just say that your gun packed more of a kick. And I'm going to pull out her slate. And I might turn a little bit. I'm going to start to scroll through things.
Okay.
Do you normally leave evidence just lying around everywhere? Or were you just cocky?
I think her eyes widen a bit. And you can kind of detect a quiver in her voice. But she says again, pursuant to Article 36 of the Armistice, I request a representative of the Aventine government.
I'm going to find the classified communication with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to show it to her. Where did you find this?
Pursuant to Article 36 of the Armistice, I request a representative.
At that point, I interrupt her and I slam my hands on the table in front of her, I assume.
Okay.
I've been shot at a lot on this mission, and usually I know who's shooting me. This time, it was you. But when I got shot by this thing, I don't know who's controlling it, and it seems you don't either. Where did you find this?
She looks up at you, and she says, oh, save the bullshit, Lieutenant. You and I both know who started this, and it sure as hell wasn't Aventine.
The ship fired at me. I'm not asking you if you did it. You clearly don't know who has it. I'm asking where you got this picture.
Okay. So let me just take a step back. I'm just going to say, like, again, the effect of this will not be great, but I'm trying to think of what the role should be if you want to do a role.
Sure.
I don't know if it's intimidate because you're not making a threat, as far as I can tell. And I'm trying to figure out what you're promising her if you're trying to manipulate. And either could be like implicit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out like which direction this is going in and what, like why she would answer the question.
Yeah, that's fair.
It doesn't, and I'll just say this, it doesn't even have to be like a good threat, right? It doesn't have, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what you're trying to get across, because I think that this is going to go down differently than normal, the rest of this normally goes.
There's someone out there flying these ships around Luster Mines in the, all across the fucking Verge, and it nearly killed me. So either I can take my anger out on whoever has this piece of shit, or I can take it out on you. So fucking tell me what I want to know. Where did you get this picture?
Is Mara like hearing this or watching this?
Yeah, I think she can hear through his like ear, like through the comms. I think she just turned it on.
How do you react to hearing that?
I mean, I definitely think she like tightens.
Okay.
But I don't, she's not going to make a move to stop anything.
So I think you're intimidating for sure. And so I think go ahead and roll plus volatile.
We'll take an 11.
Oh my. Okay.
So I'm going to be very specific with what she says, but I think that this is all you're going to get. I think that she locks eyes with you and is just like, I think the point of this is she's like matching your anger. I don't think she's intimidated by you at all. I know that the move is intimidate, but she is not intimidated by you at all. But she is like riled up by your anger. And almost without thinking, she says, "We got those pictures right where you left them, along with everything else." But then I think she kind of realizes what she said and gets like a kind of almost surprised look on her face.
I'm going between one of two questions. I just in response. Hold on. Okay. I think Arno, unlike Michael, doesn't miss a beat. Don't bullshit me. We found that with your Nemirov Design Bureau arts and crafts projects down in the mines. Whatever the fuck it is, we're going to find out what you're up to. And I'll get up.
And you leave.
You're going to leave her alive?
Why would I kill her?
You just gave her a shit ton of info.
Yeah, I'm going to leave her alive. On the way out, as I get to the door, I'm going to turn around and say, "I don't know what your plan was. I don't really care. But the effect was a uniformed officer from the Republic fleet saving one of the most high-profile Aventine thinkers of our time. I couldn't thank you enough, and I'll walk out."
Dunk.
At this point, I think we cut away to Nasir and Leela meeting with Sarek. Not inside the house, but I think it's out on the pier leading to the Valiant. And I think the shot is sort of, it's almost like a sunrise, but the effect is caused by the sun slowly emerging from behind the planet in the sky behind her.
Nice.
And I think Sarek begins and she says, "I hope you'll keep this a secret, but at risk of losing all my credibility, you should know that I'm grateful that the four of you were here. Not as representatives of the Republic, of course, but as my guests. And perhaps at this point, as my friends." And she looks up at you almost eagerly, with sort of the same expression that you saw that night when you first met, when she was discussing life in the cosmos.
"I won't speak for my colleagues who received grave injury," and I'll like sort of nod at Leela. "But I can say for myself that the pleasure was all mine, Rivka. Thank you for inviting us and for having us."
I think Leela just shrugs and says, what's a flesh wound between friends?
She smiles and nods, and then she says, this was supposed to be my last stop before heading back to Aventine, but after some reconsideration, I think I'll stick around here on Eos for a bit. Call it a sabbatical. And who knows? Maybe I'll enjoy the next one of these a bit more from the audience. But as grateful as I am, you should know that I won't change my views on the Verge, and that I will continue to voice my beliefs, including about your mission.
I would be more concerned if you'd suddenly changed your mind. Though, I don't think it's fair to say you never will. We have many more conversations to come, Rivka. Thank you for your help, and for what you said on that stage.
She nods and smiles again, and she says, well, I wouldn't get your hopes up too much, but I hope that you serve your cause well, Nasir, Leela, and that you find new stars on your journey. So as you're leaving, though, I think Sarek briefly pulls you aside, Nasir, so she can speak with you privately. I looked into your friend back on Ascension, and at this point she reaches into her bag and hands you a slate. At risk of being branded a traitor to Aventine twice in the same day, I hope that this will help you find some answers to your questions.
I'll put it like into my pack very quickly.
What you said on the stage, do you really believe there's a chance for peace? That our two peoples will actually accept the vote? Or are we both being a bit naive?
We said across the stars with nothing more than faith and a dream, Rivka. I see no reason we should stop being dreamers now.
So at this point, I want to do a few scenes with each of you, maybe either getting ready to leave Eos or on your way back to Ascension Station. So Mike, you and I have discussed a scene that you wanted to do with Mara. I'm guessing that works for you, Lauren, for this?
Yep.
Okay. So Leela and Desir, what are you two thinking?
I want to be doing a quick little mini scene in the cargo bay in the workout area.
Okay. What about you, Nasir?
I think I'm probably getting a phone call from my handlers, or like, I think I probably went out on a limb for the first time ever, and I think someone's probably gonna check.
Okay.
Yeah, I said some things on behalf of the Evelyn Lee administration, and I think they're gonna have some opinions, TM.
Okay. I like that. I think just logistically, I mean, we kind of talked about this a little, but I think if you're going to do a sort of faster than light phone call, I think we kind of said that the infrastructure to do that, that doesn't work when you're like traveling FTL, that kind of only works when you're on a planet or you're at Ascension. And so I think it makes sense to maybe do that scene first, sort of as the ship's getting ready to leave Eos. So where's Nasir when you're doing this? Are you like in one of the comms rooms on the Valiant, or where are you taking this call?
Yeah, I'm in the comms room. I think actually I step on board, and the first thing that happens is the captain comes up to me and lets me know that I have been sort of hailed.
Yeah.
So I'll head to the comms room.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we see like the sort of connecting indicator on the screen, and then we see a man appear, and this is the same man that we saw speaking to Nasir back at the end of the first arc, back when you learned that your husband was the Aventine vice consul to Ascension Station. And I'm not sure that we got the man who's on the comm screen's name yet, But this is Mar Elkin, who's Evelyn Lee's chief of staff and your main contact within the Republic government. But as a reminder of what Mar looks like, he's just past middle age, maybe in his 60s. He has pale skin, short gray hair, and a sort of sharp chin at the bottom of a clean-shaved face. But when we cut into this conversation, we hear him say, "I saw your speech, Nasir. You should have asked me first."
Ma, I'm sorry. There wasn't a lot of time to check in. There was an attempt on Reeve Kasarik's life. She had just given a speech that we were not briefed on about making sure that they were going to honor the outcome of the vote. She directly combated Kyros's people. I saw an opportunity. And I think I'll move a little, like try to shift the conversation a little and be like, what are our poll numbers looking like? It's not like I've received a briefing.
So I think he, after you said it, sort of said all that, he like leaned forward as if he was ready to sort of tear into you. But I think he kind of just slumps back a little bit and just looks actually disappointed and then kind of sighs. And he says, "I'm not saying it's your fault, but I don't think that you're fully aware of the pressure that the president is under back here on Earth. How fragile her backing is on the council. You asked about the poll numbers. Support for the armistice is currently underwater, and over 40% now think we should have stayed in the war, and we shouldn't have pulled out from the verge. Reminding people of the vote, and that Aventine might win it, I think that was a mistake, Nasir."
The look on my face will be chastised.
Mm-hmm.
"I'm sorry. I have not received a briefing since we left, and I haven't checked in. We've been underwater here. We're just trying to keep this project alive. I'll ask outright, do you still think us being here helps? And I also want to ask you one question."
Hmm.
Like you, John. Mo is asking John.
Yeah.
"I have worked with Mar for years. Do I think that he is telling me the truth that this was a bad move? Or do I think that Mar is trying to rein me in?"
Hmm. I think we'll scope it out.
Shit. And I get a...
Please.
I get a plus zero. So that is a failed
no.
roll. Boop. XP.
Okay. Yeah, mark XP.
Look, if I'm going to fail rolls, let me fail low stakes rolls like this that only help the narrative.
Yeah, low stakes.
Fuck that okay. narrative.
Okay. Oh, shit, dude. Okay. Okay.
You said that so many times. Is that supposed to make yeah. me feel better? How many times have you said,
no,
okay?
No. Mark XP. "I think you can't tell." And he says, "I don't think we have a choice. Unfortunately, the reason you're there goes beyond the poll numbers at this point. 5 years ago, Nasir, I told you to trust me. You did. And together, we were able to stop the war. I need you to trust me again. No more stunts, okay? Not without checking." But after that, he pauses for a second, and then he says, "Before I go, have you run into any trouble with Mateo back on Ascension? I assume that you've been able to keep your distance."
"We haven't had any trouble at all."
I think you see him kind of narrow his eyes and go to open his mouth. And then I think you kind of hear from like off camera on the other end of the comms, someone knock and say, "Sir, we need you now." And he says, "Okay." And lets out a sigh. And then he turns back to you and says, "Just remember what I said, Nasir. We're all counting on you here." So at this point, I think we cut to Leela. And so you're in the cargo or the vehicle bay, sort of the bottom deck of the ship. What's Leela doing there?
Yeah, so I think she is by where all of the exercise equipment is, and she's got her arnis sticks out, and she's kind of running through the drills that she has done before. But I think if you look at her face and look a little more closely, it's clear that she's just going through the motions, and that her mind is elsewhere. But as kind of she goes through these drills, you kind of hear the sticks kind of clack together when she, you know, does certain of the moves. And in her mind's eye, we see sort of what's going through her head. And I think she's really replaying the moment, not anything to do with the assassination attempt, actually, but the day before when Elliot Hall was in the crowd and Leela was trying to chase after him. So I think we just kind of see
Can I add one thing into that?
Yeah.
Is like the clicking of the sticks, like in terms of the movie version of this, is this like the same rhythmic frequency kind of as the metronome?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that like too much? Okay.
And so we see kind of a flash of her as she is running up through the crowd, up to where Elliot Hall and Mara are handcuffed together. We see her hand reaching out, grabbing for his hand. And then she is reaching out, but not feeling connection that she usually feels, and instead she sees his eyes narrow and she sees Mara freeze, and then in the next moment she stalks still and Elliot Hall hits Mara and then drags her away. And so I think those kind of scenes are just replaying in her mind as she's kind of going through these drills.
And I guess, like, in the real world, what does she look like as this is happening? Is kind of the intensity increasing, or is there some kind of sign that she's distressed? What does this look like in the real world?
Yeah, I think her mind is clearly less focused as time passes, and she's just not following the drills as well. Her form is getting sloppier. She's kind of getting a bit more frantic.
Okay. So what I think happens then is maybe you're sort of getting more and more frantic and maybe even more and more reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of see some sweat on your brow and on the back of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as that kind of last scene replays again and again and again, I think we see you kind of let out a shout as you make a hard, like, left sweeping thrust with your right hand. And I think one of the sticks slips out of your hand and flies into one of the sort of racks that's on the side of that area of the vehicle bay.
Mm-hmm.
And standing next to it, we see Allison Alba, the captain of the Valiant. And she looks at you and says, "Sorry to interrupt. Is everything okay?"
I think Leela stops and sort of catches her breath for a moment. And I think it almost seems like she is coming back to reality. So she takes a second, but then she says, "No, no, no, And then she kind of composes herself and says, I'm fine. How are you, Captain?
I'm fine, but I know what happened out there, and I understand you and Arno got hurt. It's okay to be upset.
I think Lilo sets her stick down and just kind of actually sits down on a mat and mm-hmm. maybe takes a sip of water and just looks up at Captain Alba and says, thanks. I'm fine. The injury was hardly anything, but thanks.
So I think maybe she sort of walks in your general direction and then also sits down maybe like 5 feet from you.
Mm-hmm.
But then looks toward you and says, it's kind of funny, but I was doing some thinking and, well, I'm hoping this isn't the worst time to ask for a favor.
I think Lila looks up and says, no, I'm happy to help.
Last time I ran into you down here, I mentioned that I didn't get very far with our niece. But I was wondering if you'd be willing to spar with me sometime. Maybe give me a lesson or two. And I think before you can respond, she kind of looks up and then holds a hand up and says, I don't mean for this to be awkward, and you should feel free to say no. It's just you're some of the only ones around who aren't in the fleet. Well, save for Arno, I suppose. But if I asked one of the crew members, it would just seem like an order.
I think Lila kind of looks at Captain Alba with sort of an evaluating look for a moment, and then says, that makes sense. Well, I'm no Arnie's master by any means, but I'm happy to spar and happy to teach you some drills.
John and Haley flirting with their characters a second time confirmed.
They're just friends.
On International Women's Day.
They're just roommates.
So, so she stands up and sort of strains her uniform and says, I'm on shift now, but let's make time. Thanks, Lila. So at this point, I think let's cut to Arno and Mara. Where exactly do we find you two?
I think Arno's going to find Dr. Belova in the lab.
Okay.
When he walks into the room, where is Mara?
I think that she's kind of did a pass over all of her remote monitoring that she's doing of the whatever computations are running back on Ascension with a device. But I think she's kind of just sitting maybe in a far corner of the room, kind of staring at the image of the inscription or whatever of the word clarity that she found on the device.
I'll walk over to her and I'm going to pull out Emma Gomez's slate and I'm going to navigate to the communications that she received about the ghost ship. And I'm just going to place it next to her without saying anything.
So you weren't bluffing.
Read it.
I think she'll pick it up and she'll start looking through it. I don't exactly need a full write-up. You were effusive in your description with Gomez.
Whatever they think it is, they think it's us.
And we think it's them.
I think we need to tell the rest of the group, but I didn't want that to get in the way of the mission on Eos.
Of course. How are you feeling?
Fine. A little sore. You might have poked a little deeper than you needed to, but I've had worse field dressings.
I think she'll kind of like chuckle. She'll be like, I'll remind you, Lieutenant Hines, I'm not that kind of a doctor.
I wouldn't call...
I'm the one who flirts on Mike?
Yeah, y'all just stop. This is a lot.
Like, okay, listen, you just...
And then we do it.
Yeah. To flirt like this as male-female couples during Pride Month is homophobic, just so you're aware.
I don't even know what I've lost track.
I'm sorry.
So what next? Or maybe I'm not the one who should be asking that.
Yeah.
This complicates things.
She said she found it where we left it. Now, who do we know leaving things for Aventine?
You mean Shaw?
I mean Shaw.
That'll be a problem.
I think she'll, like, set the slate down and, like, step in closer. If word gets out about Shaw's back channel and he is removed, quits responding, that's going to spook his contact.
Dr. Belova, I think you misunderstand. I didn't mean that things are going to get complicated. I meant they already are. I reported Morris Shaw to the fleet before leaving Ascension Station on our mission to Eos. John, I think what we see here is a flashback to just after Arno and Morris Shaw parted ways, where Arno is sitting on the bench thinking to himself what he needed to do and weighing his options and whether or not he trusted Morris Shaw. And I think that going into this mission, if Arno was going to get got, this is when it would happen. And I think that even if Morris Shaw's explanation seemed reasonable, the risk that he could get away with anything was too great. And so before getting up from the bench, Arno pulls out his slate as if it was the most natural thing in the world and sends a message to the Admiral. I caught him at the dead drop site and have intercepted the message. Bring him in.
Oh, wow.
And I get up. I think at some point, I don't know how he would have coordinated this, but I would have given that message or left it somewhere secure on Ascension and just gone to the briefing.
Damn.
So I think if that's the flashback, I actually want to cut away and jump forward to the four of you arriving back on Ascension. And I think we see you inside the Minerva Project headquarters, stepping out of the elevator and walking toward the briefing room. But as you walk into the room, you see that everyone inside is already on their feet, staring at one of the screens on the wall. Pretty much everyone there has a shocked, almost blank expression on their face. But in the first time that you've really seen a break in her facade, Sasha Green turns to you as you walk in, and her chin quivers slightly. But before you can say anything, she sort of half runs out of the room, covering her face with one hand. On the screen that everyone's watching, we see Kara Jones, the news anchor for RBC1, speaking straight into the camera as a breaking news chyron flashes below her. If you're just tuning in now, we're still following the breaking news from earlier today when a fleet spokesperson announced the arrest of Morris Shaw, director of the Minerva Project. Shaw, who is being held on Ascension pending his return to Earth for trial, is accused of passing classified information, including military intelligence, to unnamed contacts within the Aventine Consulate. In response to Shaw's arrest, the Republic Council held an emergency vote, removing control of the Minerva Project from President Lee. Senior sources confirm that the project will now report to a council committee, a move they claim is the first step toward a full vote of no confidence in the president, meaning her possible removal from office. Of course, this is a rapidly developing story, and we're currently awaiting more information on Shaw's arrest, along with the president's response. But whatever happens, we'll be with you all this hour, covering the crisis in the Minerva Project, live right here on RBC1. This next shot is a little bit later, and we're still in the briefing room on Ascension, but everyone else in the room has since left. The sound from the screen on the wall is now muted, but we still see the news report playing in the background. And what I want to know is, are any of you speaking to each other? Or if not, what do we see you doing or looking like in this room?
I think Arno is laser focused on Mara. This is a really high stakes situation, and obviously my investigation has come to a head. I just want to see if it looks like she's about to crack, or if she's looking especially anxious or worried.
I think she looks incredibly dejected and is just sitting in her chair with her hands on her lap, just kind of staring down at the table.
What about Leela and Nasir?
I think Leela is leaned back in a chair, and I think she's trying to look relaxed, but there's some tension even in her casual looking pose. I think she's been looking at the TV and then also been kind of observing the other team members.
I think that I'm probably pacing back and forth. How is this possible? How could this have happened? I'm like very much sort of on the edge of like freaking out.
Arno, did you know anything about this?
Mara, at that, is going to stand up from her chair slowly while, again, keeping her eyes locked on Arno.
I feel like the tension there is palpable.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lieutenant?
I think Arno glances towards the slate and begins tapping on the table and finally offers, I guess it's not classified anymore.
At that line, I think the look on Nasir's face, which up until now was sort of panicked, like almost on a dime shifts to barely concealed rage. What do you know?
I'm going to wake up my slate and I'm going to find the original still shots of Director Shaw at the dead drop, and I'm going to pull them up. And I'm going to turn the slate towards the rest of the party. My mission was to investigate Director Morris Shaw for engaging in acts of espionage, passing information to an unknown Aventine contact. When I confronted Director Shaw about the information that he was leaking to Aventine, he gave the excuse that it was for the greater good, that he was trying to keep the peace, and that he had a contact in Aventine also working towards giving the peace. I think all things considered, anyone in his compromised position would likely do the same. Before leaving for our mission to Eos, I reported him to the fleet. It was an open and shut situation. I would have liked to have investigated some more, find out who his contact was, what information he had been exchanging, and where it was going. But we didn't have that opportunity once he was caught. Unfortunately, the situation was complicated by something I learned on Eos. And I'm going to go ahead and pull up Emma Gomez's correspondences and share that with the group.
And this is the one about the ghost ship?
Yes. Whatever it was that was in the mines in Consus, Aventine's not sure what it is either. They think it's us. And unfortunately, we don't have the means to follow up on investigating this any further now. Because our best potential contact to back channel this information is now sitting in a holding cell awaiting judgment for leaking information to Aventine.
I think throughout this revelation, Leela has been increasingly tense at this final bit of news. I think she's sitting like bolt upright, watching everything very closely, but I don't think she says anything yet.
I think Mara just has her arms crossed tightly in front of her, and is her eyes are cast down, and she's just shaking her head.
Why didn't you tell anyone about this?
At that, I Mara lifts her head and she looks into Seer and she says, he told me he was investigating Shaw. I knew. I had my suspicions. I thought that Shaw wasn't being fully honest with us. And I suppose I was right.
Mara? I think the look on my face is like all of the rage is sort of drained out of me, as this has been like a roller coaster. And when Mara says that she knew and was hiding this, it's like confusion and hurt, like almost disbelief.
I think she'll look up, and maybe she was expecting to defend herself, but she just sees the genuine look of hurt on Nasir's face. And she just kind of has that open mouth, head shaking, staring forward, non-response.
At that point, I think you're interrupted, actually. And that is by a sort of recorded chime sound. And I think it maybe takes you a second, but I think that you recognize this as a doorbell. And I think you realize this has to be to the front door of this building that's become the Minerva Project headquarters. And so my question is, at this point, which one of you goes to answer the door?
Arno does.
What does it look like as Arno heads down the stairs toward the door?
I think he gets up very abruptly from the table. He takes his slate and he doesn't make eye contact with anybody leaving the room. As soon as he closes the door behind them, first there's that simmering anger. And I think Arno gets his emotions mostly in check about halfway to the door. I think the rest of the walk, he spends his time reassuring himself that what he did was right, that what he did made the most sense given the information that he had. I think there's a little bit of doubt creeping in at this point. I think Arno is trying to convince himself now that if Morshaw really was doing the right thing, if he's actually innocent, that the system would spare him. But that there was no way to know that beforehand. I think for the first time, Arno is starting to doubt that what he did was right in that moment, that maybe he should have taken Shaw at his word, that he had enough in his back pocket to keep him in check, and that he could have waited a little longer. Mm-hmm. And I think Arno gets to the door, composes himself back to that same neutral expression, and he opens it.
Yeah. So I think I've described the building as sort of this like ceremonial townhouse. And so I think the door that you open is a large wooden door. It's not quite ornate, but still very nice and kind of flanked by some narrow windows that distort the light a bit. But as you push open the door, you see a man standing on the steps, and he is surrounded by a flock of reporters. And this man says, well, I suppose this is a little awkward, but looks like we'll be working together more closely than I expected. As you regain your sight through several camera flashes from this crowd of reporters, you can see that the man standing in front of you, the man reaching out to shake your hand, is Nico Torres, President Lee's main opponent in the council.
You've got to be fucking kidding.
And the former president of the Republic.
God damn it.
I'm straight up and not having a good time.